Let's talk digital.
We are at the cutting edge of digital tweaks, changes, transformation.
A local digital marketing podcast.
Conversing with industry experts and getting excerpts about the exceptional.
Hosted by Audrey Naidoo.
Sit back, relax, enjoy your podcast. I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in South Africa in the next couple of months and years. Hello everyone, welcome back to Let's Talk Digital with myself, Audrey Naidoo. Today we're talking to two leading South African experts, Wendy Case and Johan Walters from Incubeta, on my favorite topic, which is digital marketing maturity in South Africa. We all know there's lots happening in the digital marketing front, and what we knew then is not true now. So it'll be interesting to have this conversation, and let's get started. Welcome to the podcast, Johan and Wendy. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Good morning. How was your morning to date?
We had a very good trip to Joburg. As you can tell, we are not from here. We are from amazing sunny Cape Town. Am I selling it? Anybody jealous? But yes, the trip to Joburg has been amazing.
I'm so jealous. Wendy, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, so I thought before we start, if we can just get a little bit of context in terms of your background. You know, how did you get involved in DMT in South Africa?
Thank you. So I've been around a very long time, and going on 22 years in the digital realm and marketing for almost 30 years. And with regards to coming into the DMT space, the digital maturity realm, it's really been about identifying the challenges that our clients have had over the years and helping them to find the opportunities within those challenges to move forward, and helping them to understand how the organizational structures, the technology that they have in play, can actually propel them forward and advance them, as opposed to holding them back.
Thanks, Wendy. I mean, we're going to cover some of the challenges that you speak about, but I find that you are in quite a unique space within your organization as well in terms of assisting local brands in South Africa.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and Johan, your story?
Yes. For those that obviously can look up to see my grey hair, but I've also been in the industry for a very long time, a good 22 years. But yeah, the journey, I think, came to quite a good space for me in terms of like 2 years ago, when I was introduced to digital marketing transformation. In actual fact, I joined an actual Google lab in February 2020, just before COVID hit. And it was such an amazing experience that inspired me tremendously, where client, Google, agency partners were all face-to-face in the same room and tackling these kind of big topics and concepts and coming out with an action plan. So that was amazing, and that inspired me and got me hooked. And then, yeah, since then, being able to apply those kind of frameworks, apply those kind of ways of thinking, obviously in the virtual space. And what has been amazing, especially in this trip to Joburg, was to bring in a sense of, I guess, like a hybrid model of seeing clients and stakeholders face to face, and those dialing in online, and continue those and their journey. So I think going forward, it's that level of excitement, I guess, of just being, you have a different energy when you're face to face, right? So I think that's going to be amazing.
So, Johan, it's interesting that you would say that, because digital marketing has been around from the 1990s. So what has changed from then to now, and how should we be viewing digital marketing in 2022?
Very good question. And I think a good way to answer it is to take a step back and look at the maturity, the digital maturity model and framework, to see that in context. So the studies that Boston Consulting Group and Google has done in 2019 and then published, that formulated this kind of maturity model, their research has shown that clients and organizations fall in four kind of stages of maturity: nascent, emerging, connected, and multi-moment. And very much those phases have been identified by, especially like nascent, where organizations and teams are approaching marketing, digital marketing, completely siloed. So it's a channel approach. They look at each channel in isolation, different objectives, different ways of measurement, maybe not a single view, not holistic view or cross-channel view at all. And it's very much, that's the definition of it. But then obviously the, and over the years, it had and it needs to evolve to a more user-centric approach, right? And that is only achieved if you have some technical maturity in your organization to basically, and what I mean by that is by connecting your technology, connecting your data, making sure that there's levels of automation for the data to flow, that you can access it in the first place, that you can actually surface insights from it, that, and then very importantly, you can activate on those insights and that data. And all of that is achieved in a mature tech ecosystem, but also a mature organization ecosystem of where the organization and the stakeholders can actually adopt the tech to have a user-centric marketing approach. And that we call data-driven marketing.
Yeah, and just to add to that, in terms of how the challenges play out in business, but that's not necessarily articulated particularly well within the business because it's so siloed. So quite often when you're talking within each of the business units within the business and within the different teams within the business, they're not talking to each other. So quite often, and we've experienced quite recently, where the technical team is having complex conversations about data and how they're going to build the infrastructure, but they haven't spoken with the marketing team. And at that stage, at the very beginning stage, when the planning and the budgets that are needed to be approved and risk and compliance and privacy is all discussed, that those conversations are not happening in the beginning. That quite often we're quite far down the line and teams are meeting and saying, we've got these projects happening, but it's not necessarily that they have considered all of the other teams. And then there's blockers, and then it extends the time that it takes to get these massive projects into play. And we're just finding it takes a lot longer to happen because there isn't this cohesive discussion within the organization. You talk about the automation element of it. Quite often that's seen as a very complex process when in actual fact the marketing platforms that are available have APIs available to make the integration of data so much easier, but it's overcomplicated and over-engineered, and too many teams are not understanding how it's actually a lot more simple opportunities available to them to get their data into play and to make good use of it.
Is that not because of data privacy, laws and governance that's blocking API integration?
There's definitely the compliance and the risk element has to be considered. I mean, there's absolutely. But I think it's overcomplicated. There are very, very sound and solid case studies that we've observed with clients globally where they've been able to overcome those concerns. They've worked within the guidelines and the regulations, and they've been able to cohesively put all of this together and achieve what they can do. But I think that the lack of understanding about privacy and what we're trying to achieve with it makes it a lot more complex and challenging because of the siloed nature and of the organizations.
The way I see it, there are a number of challenges surrounding what you're saying. One is digital marketing now recognized for its new capability within the organization? But not even going further than marketing, is C-suite in marketing actually driving the right narrative and agenda around what is this new capability we require for marketing to get better at driving growth, supporting growth from the respective business areas? So if that's not taken at a C-suite strategic level, it's not going to work at, getting buy-in, approvals, all of that. Because let's face it, marketing was never part of this conversation. And the reason why marketing is left out is because they didn't own the conversation. So somebody else owned it, whether it's a CIO office when it came to data. And I guess some of the CIO offices and the teams are now asking, why is marketing getting involved in data? That's within our ambit, So it just changes the dynamics, but I think it becomes a more bigger conversation that needs to be elevated because of that legacy perceptions that digital marketing was just a channel. Absolutely. It's just internet marketing. Exactly. And it's no longer the case, because a marketer is supposed to do end-to-end marketing, inclusive of digital channel.
I can maybe like add a flavor to that. So I think it all kind of, from a C-suite level, it all kind of means, you know, clear objective settings for the business. Like, what is the business objectives and goals that they want to achieve, irrespective of department, right? So every department rolls up to achieving those objectives, whether you product, channel, marketing, BI, IT. I mean, you've got a business goal, right? And that's kind of like what, you know, just kind of quote Google, you know, that's your North Star, right? That is something that's measurable, and it's kind of time frame to it. So, for example, you know, by 2025, we want to have X amount of new users to our book. We want to increase the wallet size. We want to increase the product holding of our current kind of customers by X by 2025, for example. And if that is the overarching objectives, then every department, including marketing, including BI, including product, obviously rolls up to that. That's your North Star, right? And then that kind of makes it more tangible for marketing to come to the table to say, well, this is how I could actually help achieve and measure and track and contribute to those goals. So what we've kind of, it was an interesting exercise a few years ago, helping an organization to kind of come up with that full, kind of like a full funnel or full customer funnel measurement framework. And it was to show marketing's contribution to the overall business objectives. So it was front and center, this is what the business wants to achieve by 2025, and how marketing's going to do that across the entire customer lifecycle, whether it is complete new audiences, engaging audiences, converting them, including then that kind of like customer journey of it's online leads maybe, but then offline conversion, just so again bringing complexity into that very complex kind of customer journey sometimes. And then after sales, you know, to basically sell, if the business goal and objective is to increase wallet size or product holding share, that happens after conversion, where marketing sometimes stops, right? So marketing stops maybe at bringing in the lead, versus we're showing the picture, no, it continues, right? And you could attribute it. You could actually say marketing can then play a role in upselling, cross-selling, doing different kind of strategies based on lifetime value and propensity to churn, you know, all of these very kind of, I think, advanced questions, right, to achieve the same objectives. So that is where I think, you know, having that approach top down essentially can bring teams and business units together.
Previously, it has been extremely difficult in trying to measure the effectiveness of marketing by using tech and data appropriately, automating the system, we making marketing more agile, more accountable, more efficient, more effective in their contribution to the organizational goals.
That's correct. And I guess it is very much for, and it brings back to the digital marketing transformation process, I guess, is that it's a framework, right, that kind of guides an organization holistically across teams, like across teams, across agency partners, to know what the goals are and then focus on the right projects that will get you there. Because we're often seeing, you know, like where there's loads of things happening in organizations and people are busy, that makes sense, but are they busy in the right things at the right time, at the right sequence, to actually come to a point and say 3 months down the line or by the end of the next quarter, did we achieve something? You know, and does it actually then incrementally get them somewhere where they need to be?
Yeah. What we've seen, and we work very closely with Google, collaborating with the digital transformation journeys for clients, and what we've seen come out of those processes, so there's the assessment, there's this authentic, honest reflection of what is happening within the business, identifying the opportunities to grow, and really getting a prioritization of milestones in place to have something to work towards, and then being able to assess as they go along. So the action plans and the feedback documentation that we work with the clients really gives them a sense of empowerment to make a difference in areas that they know are valuable and important to the business. So that's been incredibly rewarding to watch as we see clients who are moving forward with their maturity and actually embracing it. So it's really been wonderful to see.
So I know you guys have been working with this process for over 2 years now. What are you picking up in the South African market in terms of, are there specific verticals that probably paving the way in terms of, you know, getting it right? Can we actually look towards the case studies? You know, what's your assessment of our market?
So in our experience, we're seeing particularly within the finance vertical, so banking, insurance, and then in the retail, that those are where we're seeing the most sort of adoption of DMT. It really, they see the value, they've experienced the value, and I think that that's been really rewarding. But obviously you get your stars and the excellent embraces, and then those who are a little less excited about it. And a lot of that, and again coming back to the C-suite involvement, is where you've seen the high levels of the business actively involved in the process. They've come to the assessment sessions, they've talked about what their vision is within the roadmap, and they've helped provide the budget and getting the approvals to move forward. And that really is where we're seeing the progress and the growth happening in those verticals.
It's also interesting, another approach that we've seen as well, or emergence of, so the one is where we go in and everybody's aware that we're not going to do an assessment, there's going to be a roadmap, so that's the one approach. The other approach is of where the client adopts a new technology, right? So let's say, for example, they are en route to do Google Analytics 4, so GA4 implementations. And then, or they might want to adopt Google Marketing Platform, right? Also known as GMP. So hopefully there will be an index for all our acronyms we're using today. But essentially, what then happens then is the client then asks the question, now what? What changes because I adopt GA4? How can I see the bigger picture of what GA4 enables me to do, for example? And then that's also then a starter for a DMT discussion to say, well, let's take a step back. GA4 is a tech enabler. What does it enable you to do as an organization? What other elements does it impact in terms of your data flow, your availability for data and using data, audiences? How can, by connecting, very techy I guess, but connecting Google Analytics 4 to Google Marketing Platform or even Google Ads, you know, it allows you to start influencing your strategies and your ad campaigns. And that extends to your strategies and your creative approaches, you know, to start doing personalization and connecting to personalization on your website. So all of these things are just that one element, the tech enabler for so many things, that you should take a step back and see, well, what does it enable me to do from a bigger context?
It seems like a no-brainer, you know, when you start to unpack it like that. But realistically, I know I've been down that road. It's just difficult. For me, it all centers around brands taking ownership over the strategy, because in the past it was the media agency. You go and put your own tech stack, you know, you run with it. Creative agency is on their own. So there's no integration, you know, that cohesiveness, Wendy, that you make reference to. It's not happening even with marketing and their partners, and yet we've been in marketing for so long. So I think tech becomes the enabler. But when you start to talk about GA4 and GMP, I just wanted to put it out there that this framework is tech agnostic, right?
Very correct. Wendy, do you want to go first?
Absolutely. So when we talk about digital maturity and all of the elements, the dimensions that form part of that, and the accelerators that take you forward, it is not reliant on one specific technology stack. It is, you know, you can be using Google products, Adobe. It doesn't matter what social platform you're working with. All of those integrate in your plan, in the journey that you are moving forward with digital maturity. And it's really important that you understand where you are in that journey and what you need to enable you to move forward. So whatever that is and whatever technology you have available to you and whatever has been dictated to you as a marketer, because of the decisions that have been made in an IT realm or in a, you know, just from a commercial perspective, you know, what are the budgets available for the different sectors? And this is something we hear often, is like, we're not ready to get to that level yet, but how do we still achieve data-driven excellence? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, something I can add, it actually came up in, we were at an event yesterday, e-commerce live, and some of the conversations and sessions kind of mentioned, you know, the caution against being over invested in tech, right? Because I mean, that comes not with a lot of tech license fees and everything. Mm. But I mean, and this is what this kind of framework and process allows you to do, is kind of like one of the action points we see along a lot of the assessments is say, well, let's take a step back, let's actually map out our tech ecosystem and truly understand what is the value and the role of that technology and platform that it plays in the customer journey, and again, does it align to our business objectives and the marketing objectives? And then who owns it? Meaning that is it complete ownership on a media partner, for example, or is it ownership on a client side? Obviously, we do on the kind of line of saying, well, everything should be owned by a client, so that you own the data, you own the audiences, you've got full transparency, but then 100%, you know, like rely on your partners to manage it for you, you know, because they've got specialism, right? So the point is kind of like also to kind of like err on being over invested in tech by taking stock of what do I have in place, does it kind of serve the kind of like goal that I want to achieve in the end? Can I connect it? Can I complement it? Supplement it with other tech? But always just kind of make sure that you're not over invested in it.
I agree, because tech shouldn't be your primary focus. Your primary focus is to understand what problem you're trying to solve for the business or for marketing.
Yeah.
So I quickly want us to look at the accelerators around digital marketing maturity, and if you can maybe just tell us what they are.
Sure, no problem. So 2 years into the research that Boston Consulting Group and Google has done, and because of the kind of shifts in our lives because of COVID, they basically re-read the research and kind of published updates. And what they found, obviously, with certain key trends, is that because of COVID, a lot of businesses were forced to accelerate their digitization, if that makes sense, right? Becoming available and going online and bringing in e-commerce, etc. But then we're also then shifts in that period of time in consumer expectations. So, you know, consumers wanted a level of personalization, so they're asking for it, but at the same time they're asking for privacy. So they're asking to, you know, like also treat my data with respect, right? But I also want personalization. So all of that kind of like trends came out in the research. And then what came out of the kind of recommendations by the research is to say, well, focus on four key things, right? The first one is a fortuitous first cycle and first party data. So really kind of take a step back of understanding what first party data do you have and how can you unlock the value of it across the value chain, right, in marketing. The second one is about end-to-end measurement, and that is such a complex sentence in its own right, because end-to-end measurement means a lot more than just that. It means having a full sight of the customer journey across environments, so app and web, across devices, linking to all your business data, linking to true kind of like business outcome, right? So return on investment, return on ad spend, customer lifetime value, and being able to kind of link it to a way that you could shift budgets and make informed decisions. So that is end-to-end measurement. That's a huge ask for organizations to achieve. And then those two alone, which are technology drivers, they kind of, I think, and the research shows that it accounts to about two-thirds of the overall impact on maturity. So that's super important to focus on that. Then the third one looks at, with the other two, kind of looks at more organizational drivers, right? So the first one is looking at having agile teaming, so having an agile approach, the ability to be agile, right? So move swiftly, if that makes sense. Have teams and organizations and team structures and processes that allows you to act quickly and swiftly. And also then have a culture of test and learn. So, and with that also means kind of like have the budget set aside, and the kind of frameworks put in place to actually always test and learn. And that test approach is not, obviously you want to see if there's a positive outcome, but even by failing, you are learning, because then you could, and link that to agility, you could then very quickly test and see what works, refine, test, work, and refine. And so that is quite a big organizational element that enables all of this tech that you now have in place. And then the fourth one is advanced skills and partnerships, right? So kind of being able to see what new skills do you need to drive that data-driven marketing, and then kind of take stock of, do you have the skills internally? Yes, no. What is the kind of learning paths you could put for your teams in place to get them there? But during that time, have hybrid models, like lean on your partners. So it could be your media partner, that could be Google, it could be, whoever's in your partner ecosystem, lean on them, because they're going to get you there. And then it's up to you as an organization, how you want to have that kind of model. It could be outsourced, it could be hybrid, it could be in-house over time. But, organizations will find that mix that kind of fit them best.
In terms of the way marketing is structured and the capabilities that's existing, do you find that this is a gap or a challenge in getting this right? Because let's talk about skill sets. It's definitely an issue in South Africa.
Absolutely. And we definitely, and it's not just in South Africa, it's globally. There is such a small pool of highly skilled resources within the digital marketing and digital technology space, particularly within measurement analytics, the data science. We're not fast tracking our growth quickly enough to warrant the need or to meet the needs that we're seeing. And and this is for people who starting their careers, study something in the data science and measurement, because I tell you there's a future for you out there. But really, that is a big struggle for many organizations. They just don't have enough resources available to support the process of understanding the data, of where to put their focus, to where to put their budgets. And the marketers of traditional times, should we say, are having a lot of challenges to upskill and to keep pace with all of the changes that are happening. But I also would just caution against finding it too overwhelming. It really is not that complex. The likes of the Google Academy, they provide free, amazing content to upskill yourselves, and it's in very usable formats as well. So that, I just encourage all marketers out there just to really embrace what is available to them. In terms of the tech side of things, we need more resources to support what we're trying to achieve within the digital maturity realm.
I can maybe add to something for our future marketers. There are so many specialisms, right, and depth of specialisms within a particular dimension, right? So this, if we kind of break out this six dimensions, the one is, and they all kind of try to achieve best practice and high maturity in that dimension. So a maturity within attribution and measurement, right? And we can unpack that now a bit more. Best practice within assets and ads, so the creative side of things. Audiences, access to inventory and reach. So that's more kind of like platform uses, right? Like which platforms do you use to kind of reach your right audiences? And automation is another key dimension, and then the organizational side of things, right? But just within the analytics and measurement space, I mean, there are specialisms within there, within for future marketers, right? To kind of focus on pixel tracking, for one, right? And I mean, I'm going to maybe be a bit more techie now, but specialisms within Google Tag Manager or that tag management kind of space, that is huge. The analytics space, right? Kind of like being able to look at a website even before it's being built, or looking at a current website and be able to scope it out for a measurement journey, right? A measurement and creating a measurement plan so that you track the metrics that matter. And then the technical aspect of that, of, you know, writing the code and that needs to be given to the developers that will enable all of this tracking that happens. And then again, the looking at the data then coming in, you know, so that from a reporting perspective and insight generations perspective and the data science perspective, right? So again, you know what Wendy's saying, like there's so much scope for amazing specialisms out there that you just have to choose. I would say try everything. Like, so I'm a generalist, so I kind of like dip my toe in all the aspects so that I'm able to understand it and take a step back and understand the bigger picture. But becoming a specialist in any of those fields is gold.
It's all about having a growth mindset. I mean, when I started off in digital marketing in 2012, I thought, what am I getting myself into? Half the things I didn't even know. But it's about me taking ownership over my learning path and growing. And it was all self-learning. I mean, there's no formal education here. You just have to go and get all the free learning tools. There's plenty out there, and then start building your skill set. And it's always great to have a general view of the world, because although you'll do tag management, you can't actually apply it if you don't understand how it's actually impacting the campaign, how it's impacting measurement, you know. So you've got to actually apply yourself to think broader than that specialist skill set in their people to try and grow their competency level. I mean, there's conversations, you know, our textbooks are outdated. So how do you expect new people coming into the organizations? They've done their formal training, but yet is that formal training actually adequate for them to be supported within the real world, you know, when they join organizations? So I think we are in a unique space in digital marketing simply because it's fairly new. So if I have to put it on the maturity curve, I would say it's still nascent, you know, and people need to actually find their own way. The problem is, you know, what is a North Star, and is my way good, bad, or indifferent? If I have to go put a scorecard to my progress without people like yourselves, you know, saying, guys, let's do an audit. Let's assess what's your current standing like. And then what is that roadmap for us to move into a more mature state of advancement in all of your capabilities? I was reading an article by Harvard Business Review, and they did a research during COVID, and they found out that now marketing has 72 new capabilities. You know, realistically, let's face it, guys. I mean, if you look at any functional area within organizations that have such huge amount of disruption, it's marketing. Mm. So I think, you know, we need to go easy, but also support marketing. And I'm talking about the other areas that, you know, that lack of collaboration or the silo mentality needs to break down within organizations, because marketing alone cannot achieve this. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that, you know, maybe it's time CEOs and C-suite starts rethinking their structures that are not conducive to driving bigger growth for organizations. At the end of the day, it's about growth, right? How do I increase my revenue? How do I increase my customers? How do I make my customers happy with the service they're getting? And we're now looking at experience economies, platform economies. You know, the world is changing so fast, and we need to actually keep up.
Yeah, absolutely, Audrey. And just maybe to comment on a practical level, when you're finding organizations, and what we've observed is that there, quite often there will be a big push on some training, potentially some new technologies come in, and they'll pay for training, and they'll have everybody in a room or in a on a a virtual call, but there's no follow through. There's no focus on the enablement of the business with that new knowledge, and quite often it's siloed. So very much to your point is, how do we collaborate and share that knowledge internally within the teams, across the business units, and within the various infrastructures? So it's not just about the learning once off. How do you make sure that you are getting the value out of what you've learned, and actually enabling your partners, the various, getting the depth of understanding within the business about what you're learning and how that impacts the business?
Yuan, you want to add to
that? I wanted to add to the kind of senior team and organization sponsorship of this, and it's actually not to give it away, but the first question in the survey is, at what level in your organization is data-driven marketing championed? And the correct answer is CEO, and then there's obviously other answers, other options. And I found that's very interesting that that's the opening of the survey, because it really kind of pins it there, like the organization top-down needs to understand the concept of data-driven marketing and championing it at all levels. You know, it must be on... It must be at the table at the C-suite, right? To be the sponsors of all the projects and all the enablement that needs to follow through. So I think that's quite an apt opening to the survey process.
I think you're making reference more around the culture needs to change, because it is a cultural issue. Yeah, in terms of where to from here? Are you finding the next 2-3 years is going to be similar to what you're doing now? Is getting everybody on the same page, you know, to that level of understanding? Is this going to be now a journey that you steadily trying to get people on board?
Definitely, yeah. So I think for the organizations where we've started this journey, for them, it is a multi-year journey to kind of then, you know, just using the framework as a tool to kind of get to an endpoint, right? And it is a continuous journey. And then for new organizations to kind of see the DMT framework as a way to kind of get that plan, get that roadmap, right? And get that understanding of where you are now, where you need to be, and just applying these frameworks that's been researched and proven to work, and learn to adopt it, right? And then go on to your multi-year journey. And it, like we say, it's a continuous journey, because even within the next few years, there's going to be disruption into what you're doing. So again, just looping back to Google Analytics 4, like, you know, you need to, everybody that's not even on a DMD journey yet, need to adopt GA4 by next year. So that in itself is a disruptor, and most organizations that use Google Analytics as a measurement tool, and that we feel is the most perfect kind of opportunity to take a step back and see, well, what is this new tool and a new capability allow us to do in a broader sense.
Yeah. Just to add to that, I just think that DMT is the framework that holds everything in place while the disruptors are happening. And I think those are a given. We're constantly going to see new elements changing, or even these impending changes. So, for example, the deprecation of third-party cookies. There's a lot of fear and anxiety around it because we don't understand it. But within the framework of DMT, you can plan, you can make sure that everybody's kept up to speed, that anything that changes is kept in that roadmap. And I think that that's something that we've seen as a success of businesses and organizations using DMT, is that they're not sideswiped by these changes or anything. They're kept very, very solid in their foundation of this, and their roadmaps are, and their prioritization. So it really is a powerful tool to carry businesses forward.
Yeah. So in terms of the DMT assessment, some people think you have to pay to do this.
No, it's free.
No, there is an investment, but it is time. So the assessment itself is free. It's online. What we've seen organizations do in the past is that clients would do it by themselves on their own. And in those scenarios, you know, clients might kind of score themselves more, you know, paint a more rosy picture for a better outcome, versus the kind of process we've been following with partners like Google, is to kind of create an environment of where there's discussion and create an environment of where it's an honest discussion, more like holding up a mirror, for no, you know, good or bad. It's not a scorecard kind of exercise, because it's really just to kind of let everybody understand, you know, where we are now, and the survey guides you and it articulates it, well, what is the next step, right? And then that becomes a discussion to say, well, can we achieve the next step now that we see it being articulated, and what will it take? And then that allows clients and partners to then build their roadmap together. It's not done for you, it is done by everybody, because you now have this common language now that you can adopt and actually talk about your roadmap.
So you suggest the sessions being facilitated by external party, so you can have a more objective view of where you are in terms
That's
of your
correct.
Current state.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So in closing, what advice would you leave for brands who want to get into this DMT journey, you're still not started the process? And secondly, what advice would you give to the brands that have just started the process?
So I'm going to take the second question first. For those who started it, make sure that you embrace it and make it part of your DNA within the organization, that everybody speaks to the roadmap that has been put in place, that you revisit it regularly. It's this constant self-assessment, and ensuring that you have the roadmap aligned with the business objectives and the marketing objectives, and take everybody on the journey. Make sure it's socialized well within the business to make sure that everybody is clear in their understanding. And again, coming back to what I said earlier about the when the curveballs come at you and things change, that you're not unraveled by it, that you stay grounded in that foundation.
And I think then to the first question, for brands that haven't gone on the journey yet, it's kind of like, hopefully this talk kind of inspires you to be curious. There's a lot of material out there to read. Just Google, Boston Consulting Group and Google's digital maturity research that they've done. It is on Think with Google website, and read through it, understand it. And I think, like, do the assessment. That's the first part of where, as a team, go through it, and then start getting a sense for how you could better yourself over time, because it is so beautifully laid out, that you then kind of see what is the full spectrum of what you need to consider as an organization.
I must say, it's one of the best models that I've come across in recent years, because it considers every aspect of marketing. So amazing, guys. Thank you so much for your time. I think I can talk all day, days, weeks about this subject, because I'm so passionate about it myself. But you guys have been amazing. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, cool. Bye.
We're excited. You're excited.
I really value and appreciate your support during this time.
Helping decision makers navigate the change and to keep some change in their pockets.
Don't forget to subscribe. Follow our Instagram handle at
TalkDigitalZA.
Engage us on our website at TalkDigitalZA.co.za.
And who knows, you could be featuring on the next one.